With the fifth pick in the 2020 NBA Draft, the Cleveland Cavaliers select Isaac Okoro from Auburn University.
Quarter on none, launches. He knocks it down.
Good section.
On the blow by, both inside.
And off to Garland for three. He knocks it down.
Drummond grabs it out, lets to Garland. Up top,
Cleveland, this is for you.
Evan, what's up, buddy? How are you?
It's kind of a somber day for the Cavs. It's been a rough week for Cleveland sports in general. That Browns game was a little heartbreaking. I had low expectations going in, but they really had me till the end. But all things considered, not too bad. How are you?
Doing good. Obviously, if you're joining us maybe for the first time here on WKYC, we're Chris Manning and Evan Dermer. I'm Chris. He's Evan. We're the Locked On Cavs podcast, where we cover the Cleveland Cavaliers 5 days a week. Obviously, the Cavs are incredibly a lot going on right now. We'll talk a little bit about the Knicks game. Obviously, mostly about the Kevin Porter Jr. situation and a whole bunch of other stuff. Also, want to let you know that today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code Locked On, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Evan, Knicks game real quick, just because I feel like we should hit on it. Any stray observations from Cleveland's 106-103 win? This game feels like it was a week ago to me at this point.
It does. I tweeted about this kind of jokingly, but I was a little serious too. This is a little bit of the Joe Montana, Steve Young effect, where those of you who don't know, Bill Walsh, to get more out of Joe Montana, started saying that Steve Young might be the starter. Maybe the Cavs did the same thing with Andre Drummond by trading for Jared Allen. And this is also a contract here, Drummond. So have a game, Mr. Drummond. It was quite a show for you. And also just another straight observation I made is, man, I do wonder how fun the Lakers would be if they still had all these baby Lakers on their squad, especially just between Nance and Randall, just from the playmaking and the size of those two.
Yeah, just one of them, I think, would be super, super helpful to them and any team, really. I think the thing with Dre is
The Lakers are pretty good. They're
the favorites to win the titles in a lot of ways. And they have LeBron James and Anthony Davis. I think they're doing okay. Dre obviously was great. I just want to say that people that are like very defensive about trading him, I sort of understand it because he's playing really well and all this stuff. But if you want to look at the big picture of what the Cavs are doing here, the logic of why Drummond is on the trade block makes too much sense, and you're overthinking this if you think that's not the case.
Yep. 100%. That's, I think people are overthinking this thing quite a bit here when it comes to Dre's availability. It's just Jared Allen, and he was quite literally anointed by Kobe Altman, and I believe J.B. Bickerstaff as like in the team's plans for the future.
Kobe straight up said, we partially acquired him because it gives us an insight. It's easier to get him and re-sign him than it is to try and get him as a restricted free agent. Andre Drummond is older and an unrestricted free agent who's probably going to make a lot more money on his next contract. And that's just the reality of it.
The Cavs made a plan to look ahead to the future and now, and it'll definitely be interesting to see. We'll be talking about Jared a little later in the show, but Chris, on a more heavier topic, the Kevin Porter Jr. era is now done in Cleveland. You and I kind of had an idea that this was inevitably going to happen. It happening on today, Monday, January 18th, Martin Luther King Day and my brother's birthday. Wasn't what I really expected, but I knew this news was coming, especially after some whispers were leaking out of Cleveland's locker room after Friday's game against the Knicks.
Yeah, this has been one of those things that I think people that follow the team, people that care about the team, have, I think, seen this sort of bubbling under the surface in a lot of ways. I think it was sort of one of the unknown things. I still, Evan, I know like it obviously all came out and JB spoke today and whatever. I still think it was a pretty big failing to not press Kobe about this when he actually did talk to the media last week. I think, just for transparency, I dreaded to ask questions and was unfortunately not called on, and that's just the reality of it. But
I have to ask you this. That was before the blow-up on Friday.
He hadn't played any games yet. I still think it was worth asking. You only get Kobe so often, and I think when you actually get him, you need to actually try to get some more concrete information and pick his brain in a way that you normally can't, because he's the architect of the team in quite a lot of ways. And because Dan Gilbert is not accessible, and I understand obviously why Dan is even less so than Kobe, Kobe's kind of the mouthpiece for the team in a lot of ways. And I think when he is in that position to actually speak to us, I think that you need to ask him stuff. And KPJ is one of the things I frankly was trying to ask him about, and pretty bluntly about it. And you know, I shared you the syntax of my question that I had planned, and it's obviously before the blow up, but there's been a lot there. But obviously, this reported by The Athletic from Jason Lloyd, Joe Varden, Shams, and Kelsey Russo. Basically, Kevin Porter Jr. had a blow up with Kobe Altman and extended
Cavs' fact
that his locker was moved.
His locker to like players that are at the end of the bench, i.e., Dean Wade, Marquise Bolden, Lamar Stevens, what have you.
Yes. If I remember correctly, it's been a long time. Like, it's been 9 months or so since we've been in a locker room, I think. He was over more toward, he was close to Sexton, if I'm not mistaken, on that back wall.
It went KPJ, Darius, Colin.
Okay.
And then I think Larry was after Colin.
Yeah, Larry was, then, yeah. Kevin, Kevin's in his
Andre
own.
Andre and Kevin were by each other at the back end.
Kevin, no, if I remember
correctly. No, Andre was right by the entrance of the locker room.
And then Kevin's on the other side in his own corner, like by the, for people that don't know, if you walk into the Cavs locker room, there's like one big wall.
It's a U-shaped,
and you walk in, there's a big wall, and like Sexton, Garland, all those guys are on that one back wall. Nance over there. Kevin Love is in his own corner.
Tristan, then Kevin. Yes. That's it.
Tristan,
and they kept the locker between Tristan and Kevin empty. He was most of the time.
Well, no, Tristan was on that back wall toward the corner. Kevin was on the far on the far end, like on the front of the U, towards like that escape route that they have. That's the players' lounge.
Yeah,
but it's like the escape route if you want to avoid the media without having to walk by them. Good architecture by whoever designed that. But
yeah, it's well planned, well laid out.
This basically was, it seems like, Evan, the final straw. I have parts of this that I find very difficult to talk about because I think it is. There's a lot about Kevin Porter Jr. that we don't know. There's an idiom in journalism where you basically may talk to someone for 15 minutes, 30 minutes, and I'm paraphrasing this. I've had the opportunity to talk to Kevin before his rookie year for like 30, 40 minutes on the phone. Talked to him a couple times in scrums. Never had like a bad interaction with him at all.
No.
But he's
always been a nice kid.
Mm-hmm. We don't know him. And we don't know. I think there's surely a lot in this story that we don't know either, right? Like, I think there's definitely a lot that, even though you and I we've heard some stuff, we've poked around this a little bit, there's still a lot we don't know. I think there's probably a lot that we will never know in a lot of ways, and that's okay. Some of it is probably personal health stuff for Kevin, and or his personal view on the world, and I think it's unfair to speculate too much on that.
I fear the sword. I just said it's a meaningless exercise. So at this point, we have a definitive answer of what's going on with Kevin Porter Jr., but I'm like constantly asking when there's not really an update and the Cavs are protecting his privacy in his situation. That's just kind of always been with us.
This blow up, and maybe, you know, I don't know if how much of it is like the blow up becoming public and then like that forcing their hand a little bit or whatever it is. Like, there definitely is just some stuff that is a little muddy, but his time in Cleveland is officially over. He's not, you know, going to Cleveland Clinic Courts anymore after he just was able to return to practice with the team last week. He was on the bench on Friday, and this happens, I believe, after the game is the timeline of events, as at least I understand it. And this is basically the end of the road, and he's going to go. It's after, obviously, two major offseason incidents. It's after they held him out, and the root of it is muddy and hard to understand, I think, in a lot of ways, of how we got here. But, Evan, this seems like it was the straw, to use a cliche here, to that broke the camel's back for Cleveland in a lot of ways, and now it's it's just, what is the exit? Is it a trade? Did he get cut? It's unfortunate.
It is unfortunate because if you look at Kevin Porter Jr., the player, the Cavs believed in his talent. Like, Kobe and his staff viewed him as a top 5, top 10 prospect in 2019, and they were able to get him a 30th overall, so that's like a draft night steal for the Cavs. J.B. Bickerstaff called him a franchise cornerstone heading into this season, which is a pretty big thing to say for a guy you picked 30th overall, and then a lot of fans saw him, and then maybe it's us and others as well who are just like, yeah, Kevin Porter Jr. is the real deal. Like, I said I was wrong about him. I thought he was going to be a Nick Young-type player, and he's clearly not going to be a Nick Young-type player, but it's just the maturity and the emotional maturity and some of the stuff that just plagued him at USC, where apparently, like, there's the coach is hard on him. The coach at Southern Cal is hard on him, but also, he took his time coming back from injury and just more or less didn't really try for USC after he was being disciplined. And I think that's the things, like, Kevin Porter Jr. is a good kid, and I think he's a good person. I just think the Cavs have tried everything they did for the last 2 months, even probably even before that, like, even like, because we know during COVID, like during the beginnings of quarantine, the Cavs were on him like white on rice every single day, planning out his meals, planning out his exercises, basically treating him like a child, where they would have people who would babysit him more or less. And they tried everything they could, and I, from what I gathered, it was a lot of one step forward, two steps back every single day with KPJ. He started blowing off the team every now and then and started actively ignoring them. It's just a shame how this is going to end. I kind of wrote about this in my story for Forbes that maybe being traded, which I don't think that's going to happen just based on the landscape of the NBA and just kind of people I've asked questions to about this, is I think teams are more or less waiting for Cleveland to release him, and then they're going to take a stab at a basketball. When he's an open player on the market, teams don't have to give up assets for somebody who could go nuclear at any given time, because that's, one, a bad look to your owner, and two, a bad look for you as a GM.
Well, and Evan, I told you this earlier. I know of one team that – I'm not going to say the team, but I know of one team that was like, we're good, basically. No.
I heard of another one who said, like, we're okay. Yeah. We don't want him.
And I think he's going to end up somewhere. He's too talented not to. I mean, I think you and I would have both argued that he might have been the most – have the most upside of any of these Cavs prospects. Like, coming out of last season, I mean, I think of that Heat game as just, like, quite an incredible performance.
It's the one-year anniversary of that Heat game today, actually.
Oh, my God. That feels like three years ago at this point, because of what the world has been like in 2020 and everything, and pandemics and things. But, Evan, we'll talk about KPJ more, I think, after the break, and sort of where we kind of think there's a lot to unpack. And again, I want to stress that I think there's still a lot we don't know. I do think that I would also, like, it will not happen while he's a member of the Cleveland Cavaliers, but I would like to hear what Kevin has to say about this at some point, because I think even, like, the information I think you're getting a lot of the times is either playing, you're getting information via, like, telephone, where it's kind of coming from people, what they're hearing and sort of their takes on things, or it's from the Cavs' point of view, and the Cavs obviously think have a lot of reasons to be done with KPJ. I think a lot of it is pretty warranted, but I also think there is I would like to just hear what Kevin has to say, because we haven't heard from him at all, aside, and, like, the most information you've gotten from him is, like, Instagram posts, and I think, like, you know, maybe in a different world, like, if he had been at the arena and, like, you know, it's a little more open for media, like, someone could have grabbed him and maybe, like, found him, just, like, talked to him in the tunnel or something. But that's just not the reality right now. But it's not. But Evan, I want to tell everyone really quick about our friends at Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. They are full of great flavors, including caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Evan, they were kind enough to send us a variety pack last week, and I had the peanut butter one today, and it was really good. It was really, really good.
I had a mint chocolate brownie again.
A favorite.
God, so good. Cookies and cream, perfect. And as I said last time on WKYC, Chris and I used to be two former thick boys when we played high school sports, and I also have a propensity for sweets, but as a type 1 diabetic, eating these is like a sweet treat that doesn't make my blood sugar go out of whack, and also doesn't make me pack on pounds. It's a great product. Built Bar, love ya.
Yeah, it's incredible. But again, you should check them out, builtbar.com. They have more athletic people than us that represent the brand, but they're great. I know so many lockdown hosts that have ordered them because they're so good. And James Rapine, who's got, like, guns of steel, like, eats them. And if that guy eats them, I ride with it. But free cooler with purchase right now while supplies last. And go to builtbar.com, promo code lockdown, and you get 20% off your next order. Again, promo code lockdown for 20% off at builtbar.com. Again, check out all the flavors. Peanut butter, one I had. Great mint brownies I've mentioned. Also fantastic.
And if you're actually interested in checking out a friend show in the network, check out Locked On Bets. 2020 is mercifully over, and it's time for a fresh start and a few more wins. If you're betting this year and want more wins, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They're picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. They're actually on a hot streak last time I checked. Like, I think their locks, I think they're 15-0 on their locks right now, so they have good betting advice. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcasts, probably where you find Locked On Cavs.
Do it. All right. Evan, let's keep talking about KPJ. It's obviously,
there's a lot to unpack.
So, where do you want to go? I'm gonna let you pick. Where do you want to take this?
I just think it's weird that people are somehow now crucifying and blaming Kobe Altman for this. No, Kobe took a stab on a player that did have some character concerns, not to sound like the old white man in the room here, but like a player that he legitimately believed in, and the Cavs were willing to go above and beyond to accommodate and make him feel loved and welcome and taken care of. And just, you know, even after the season stopped, they were still making sure he was getting the right help he needs every step of the way. And after the assault in August and after the accident before training camp, when he wrecked his car, like the Cavs went above and beyond to make sure Kevin Porter Jr. was taken care of. And I just think it's weird all of a sudden that people were quick to point the finger at Kobe and say, like, it's his fault. Like, they betrayed Kevin Porter Jr. They did this. And no, I'm not going to actually, no, our friend Spencer Davies reported this, and he did a good job reporting this, but Kevin Porter Jr. called Kobe Altman a slave master on Friday during their blow-up, and a black person to say that to another black person is incredibly insulting, especially somebody who is your boss, is incredibly insulting, and I think that's really was the last straw. Like, there's other stuff that's thrown around allegedly as well. A lot of things, like a tube of toothpaste, once you squeeze it out, you can't put it back in. So everything that was said by Kevin Porter and whoever else, it can't be taken back in. So I don't think Kobe really was in the wrong here. I think the Cavs did everything they could to support and help Kevin feel safe and accommodated and loved. They tried to give him a family structure every step of the way. And I do think the Cavs are a little culpable in this, and we can talk about this in a little bit. But like just right now, everyone's like pointing the fingers at the Cavs saying, like, you let him down. I'm like, no, it's a two-way street, man. It's like everyone in here is at fault, but I think Kevin Porter does deserve a little bit of blame as well.
Yeah. I mean, you can go back and listen to when we interviewed Lindsay Gottlieb. Like, she raved about him, and I know she was very instrumental in working with him. And I think J.B. Bickerstaff, one of the things he's quite good at is working with players and communicating with them and having their respect. And clearly there was like an erosion of trust there. And I don't know if I don't know JB on a personal level and can attest exactly to his character or whatever. Like, that's impossible for us when we're not like having, like, we don't get to like travel with them and like you see them kind of in moments where they're not like a public facing figure. Like, that's just the reality of us covering sports. Yeah. Like, we get our reads on people and you talk to people about people and you get a vibe on things. And I think with Kevin, like, I think there is just something there with the culpability there is the brunt of it does go on him. And again, like, I don't want to speculate on him as a human because, like, again, I don't know him. I don't know what he's going through that we don't know about. And
yeah, we don't know Kevin Porter's side of the story, but what we do know is the Cavs gave him a million chances to try and just get on the right path.
Yeah. And I think they're, like, to their credit, I think they've been pretty like trying to help him. Like, I know for
and they
a fact.
Respected his privacy too. Like, that was everyone's biggest complaint, is what's going on with Kevin Porter. No, the Cavs are respecting his privacy every step of the way,
and that dates back to him not being interviewed during the media, the bubble workouts they had, if you remember that. Like, he was kind of the one guy we didn't hear from, and looking back, there's probably pretty clear reasons why that was the case, because he'd had the incident in downtown Cleveland that they knew about at the time and no one else did a few weeks ago. And look, with Kobe, Do I think of him in the same way we thought of like David Griffin as like a people person? No.
No, but here, not but, so but, David Griffin knew how to play the media and really
Dave also really preached like a connection to like Kyrie and talking to LeBron. Like that, like part of his business of selling himself, and again, I think the world of Griff, but I also like don't know him. So this could be something that is wrong. I think there's an inherent sort of, I don't know what kind of with all of this, but like he sold himself that way. And like, there was never like, there's never been like an incident with like, there was never an incident with like Griff and like the reported Kevin Love saying, "Find me, I'm really rich." And look, these work environments are also different, right? Like, I think these work environments are a little different than like where we work in an office. Like, in my day job, I sit in the cubicle and I'm not like screaming at people that I'm rich and not to find me like in these situations. Like, these things are a little bit different. I think Evan, the biggest thing for me is that I'm just this is a sad, unfortunate story. Because
it's a shame.
Kevin Porter's a really talented player. I'm sure he is going to end up on another team in the league. I hope it is.
He's probably going to end up playing well for them.
Well, I mean, regardless of that,
if this moment humbles him enough to realize I really need to get myself together because a team that is willing to bend over backwards to work with and accommodate me, like, if that doesn't humble you, I don't know what will. And what won't make you open your eyes and realize, like, I only have so many opportunities to be one of, gosh, 450 players tops that get to do this for a living.
Well, and I think just, I hope he, like, stability seems to be a thing where he needs to buy into the need for that kind of stability. And again, like, the decision making that we've seen in the off the court stuff does not lead you to think that everything is exactly kosher there, and that's troubling. And again, I do think that there's a lot that we don't know, and I think this is, again, that with some, this being so personal, it's not like an erosion of, like, basketball trust or, like, why a guy got traded or whatever. Like, this is a little more complicated and nuanced than that, and I think we need to be careful. Almost, I mean, look, like, it also was pretty clear that, like, from what JB said and what other guys have said and everything, like, the he did have a good relationship with a lot of the other guys in the locker room. I don't know if it was everybody, yeah, but clearly some of the young guys that he came into the league with.
He was close with Darius and Dylan. Yep. They're very close with
and,
them.
You know, I saw this reported somewhere else, but to confirm it, that Andre, you know, did offer to have him live with him in Miami for part of last offseason to kind of get him in a stable environment in a lot of ways. And
yeah,
I don't, you know, he's, you know, he's worked out with guys like Melo when he lived in New York and was training under that Kevin works him as well, and I can't remember, Chris Brickley, I think his name is. He's a skills trainer up in New York, and Kevin was there and bonded with a lot of NBA guys in that way. I'm sure he's going to end up on another team. I just hope it's the right one for him. And that's, at the end of the day, that's, to me, like, him just being in a good place is probably more important than any other part of this. Like, do the Cavs lose, in a basketball sense, a potentially really interesting young piece? Yes. Do I wonder, like, does because Dan spent all this money on this, is he going to be willing to maybe do that again because this one clearly didn't yield the return you would prefer for? I think that's a fair thing to wonder.
I think Dan will, because Dan is so obsessed with winning.
Well, Dan spent $2.5 million on Kay Felder. Like, my man is willing to drop the bag. But there are things that are, we can talk about. I think they'll miss KPJ in a basketball sense in quite a lot of ways. I think that was a really talented player, and it's hard to find guys like that at the number 30th overall pick, but it's unfortunate that this is in all likelihood the end of his, like, he will not have played a game for the Cleveland Cavaliers ever again at this point.
Yeah, it's a shame. It really is, and it's a shame. And I don't really know where the Cavs go from here.
Well, and it makes me feel,
I hope,
like,
it ends peacefully.
Well, yeah, and I hope I think it makes a little more sense in a way, maybe, like, they signed Damian Dotson, like, a 2-year contract and stuff like that to kind of give themselves other wings in case.
Yeah,
they, like,
with the power of hindsight, you can start piecing things together. Like, when he didn't speak to the media during their bubble camp situation, like, he was the only Cavs player we didn't hear from. We heard from Thon Maker, who isn't with the team anymore.
Salute to Thon. A real unicorn.
Real is. And
I think Dean Wade talked to you.
He wasn't featured in any promotional stuff, and then, like, the Cavs deleted a picture of, like, him, Darius, and Dylan on Instagram. Like, that picture just vanished. It's probably right after the blow-up happened, too, that they deleted it, and, like, you couldn't find it on social anymore. And, like, KP, like, weirdly went quiet, and he's like, hey, I miss my fans and the fans and my people, or how you're all doing. And, like, you know, JB said, like, he has a personal relationship with Kevin. He wants nothing but the best for him. The team still wants nothing but the best for him. It's Cleveland is not where the best for him is going to happen.
Yeah, and we'll see what it is. But, Evan, let's not really transition away from this. We'll talk about Jared Allen coming up in the next segment and kind of what to expect from him. But why don't you tell us about another great sponsor?
Well, there's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust for sports betting, and that's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Since the Browns are out, maybe you'll be feeling a little frisky and betting some money on the Buffalo Bills. That's who I think is going to win the AFC, or the Green Bay Packers, who I think is going to win the NFC, and it's going to be a wholesome Midwest Super Bowl. But if you want to get in the action, check it out, betonline.ag, and don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts and the exclusive betting partner of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Guys, just letting you know, on tomorrow's show, I'm joined by a friend of mine, Chris Longo, to talk about the Brooklyn Nets and talk specifically about Jared Allen and why Nets fans loved him so much. You can find that on any podcast platform you're listening to Locked On Cavs. All right, Evan, last segment, Jared Allen. He spoke to the media on on Monday for the first time as the Torian Prince. I want to just say that we're not trying to like shade Torian Prince, but Jared Allen's just kind of a much more fascinating figure. I guess I haven't.
Jared Allen was the center of attention. His media availability went about 20-ish minutes today because everyone had a lot of questions. Well, and shout out to New York media being there too.
Yeah, and hogging all the airtime. Evan, as far as he goes, what's just something that you're looking forward to seeing? We'll talk about, I think, him more on tomorrow's show in a lot of ways as well. But what is just, if people are catching us on WKYC and they're like, okay, what can they do? What should I know about him? What is something that stands out to you in as far as things going on with him in terms of what interests you?
Well, we talked about this a little bit at the Boys of the Chase Down. We did our four-man show last week. If you're checking us out for the first time,
also feels like a month ago.
You get your podcast. Yeah, also feels like a month ago. The last few days have been long for me. Now I'm excited to see his playmaking out of like short roll situations, but also more so something he preached on today is he has an existing relationship with Colin Sexton. He's excited to play with Colin because he said, during my time with Brooklyn, I noticed how much defensive attention Colin commanded. He's like, I'm going to use that to my advantage down low, whether it's lobs or in a pick and roll situation, to effectively help the Cavs offensively. And I'm like, yeah, no, this is a good answer. Also really chuckled with the fact that he said he's not going to be taking threes or bringing the ball up the court, but that's shade for if you know, you know. But it's just a fun time. No, I'm excited to see Jared play. He's only 22. He views himself as a young member of this young core, but also a veteran just because he has 4 years of experience at this point, which is weird to think. He's been in the playoffs, played with all-stars. He's played with arguably Hall of Famers and greatest of all-time players and Kevin Durant. I'm excited to see him play. I think he's going to bring an interesting wrinkle to the Cavs and the Cavs have found a defensive-minded center of the future, and apparently another funny thing is he never knew Cleveland has been pursuing him for such a long time, but apparently Kobe said that they've been pursuing him for quite a bit now, and I'm glad the Cavs got their guy.
Yeah, I think, Evan, the thing that I think will be most interesting to people is that I think he's stylistically going to be a very different center than Andre Drummond. Dre can finish at the rim and all that stuff, but Allen, at least on a smaller sample and not as like a hub of the offense, so it is a little bit different, but he finishes at just a much higher rate. Much higher rate, will just dunk on people's heads. Very active around the rim, not a very static player, just kind of is willing to keep moving and keep progressing. They're really good lob threat. I think that's something to watch. And I think the other thing is related to that in me is just like, how does he adjust to Cleveland? Because his time in the NBA was with Kenny Atkinson's Nets, which was ball movement, which was organizing an offense in a certain way and all that stuff. And then he, this year, was with Kyrie Irving. And when I was doing a dive into his film, some of the Kyrie passes to get him easy points were just like outrageous. Like just absolutely magician stuff from Kyrie Irving, who may be playing in Cleveland this week, which will be quite interesting to see if that happens.
So weird. It's so weird to think he hasn't played in Cleveland in...
Since Gordon Hayward wrecked his leg.
Since Gordon Hayward did a full 180.
You know. I can still tell you exactly where I was watching that.
I was on my couch and I was sick to my stomach.
I was on a work trip in San Diego and flipped on the TV. It was like 4:30 local time or whatever. And then I was like, oh my God, this is wild.
Yeah.
Just gross stuff. But Jared's going to have an adjustment period.
Oh, he will. He's going from arguably the greatest point guard in Cavs franchise history, who plays for Brooklyn now, to, no disrespect to Colin Sexton and Darius Garland, but not the established player that Kyrie is at this point in their respective careers.
Yeah, and there's just going to be some pick and roll chemistry. The pick and roll spacing in Cleveland's going to be a little more cramped. Like every Nets team he's played on, I think, has been like a pretty decent 3-point shooting team and has had good spacing. And the Cavs are not quite that team as of right now. I think, you know, lineups with him and Drummond are going to be cramped. And
they're gonna play together too.
But I mean, right until Kevin comes back, I don't know what else you're supposed to do.
Yeah, I know. But do you think Larry will still start and Jared will come off the bench, or do you think JV's going to get real frisky with it and just do two big man lineup?
I don't know. It's I would guess he starts Larry because I just think you're really
Kobe said he wants to. He doesn't like the fact that JB is playing Larry so many minutes right now.
They haven't had a choice, though, is the problem.
I know. It's just an interesting wrinkle to think about because I think Fedor asked about that specifically today and said they're going to try and get a little creative and play Dylan Windler at the four as well.
Well, yeah, so. And I think Isaac should try some four, but I think if you roll out like a starting five and it's like Sexton, let's just say it's Sexland, Jared Allen also embracing Sexland, so good for him. But
put it on a t-shirt. Oh, the boys of the Chase Down Pod already did.
And Darius Garland apparently not a fan of it, according to a friend of the show, Michael Pina. But if you go Sexland, Okoro, Jared Allen, Drummond, you will have Colin can shoot it, doesn't take a lot of them. Okay? Darius can shoot it, takes less than average first position. Isaac is not a shooter yet. Jared and Andre are not shooters. Your spacing is so cramped and the floor is just going to shrink that I don't think you can do it. I don't. Yeah, I think you almost need to, like, if you're going to do that, you probably need to, like, play Windler instead of Okoro, and that obviously shouldn't happen for a boatload of reasons. I think you got to start Nance, and then I think if you want to do it, like, you got to sub out Okoro and Nance for, like, Allen and Torian Prince or Jetty or just another nominal three. I do really want to see the Cavs play smaller. I know that might cost JaVale some minutes, and JaVale's been utterly fantastic. JB did tell us on Monday that he has talked to the bigs, and they all sort of know what's kind of coming in terms of their minutes, but he didn't share exactly what that means. I suspect we're going to find out more coming the week. Yeah. And the Cavs also really need Kevin Love back to space the floor. Yeah. I'm gonna say that on every episode until I have stopped having people in my mentions saying they need to keep Drummond and trade Kevin.
Those drag sets they have with Kevin Love and Jared Allen are gonna make me a very giddy boy watching them play. But
they're the best offensive set the Cavs could run, and I don't think it's close.
Not at all.
Elite lob threat, elite spacer, sets up your point guards for success. I mean, I don't know what else you can really look for there.
No, for sure, and maybe Jared Allen is a bit of a, as we start to wrap this up a little bit, is a bit of a future seer. He said that this current Cavs squad reminds him of the 17-18 Nets, who had D'Angelo Russell, who was also then, I believe he was traded that offseason. No, he wasn't. He wasn't traded yet, but no, there's an all-star that's soon on his way out of here, and D'Lo is that guy. Maybe Jarrett's a little bit of a seer here, but no, that squad was a lot of fun. They weren't very good, but they were a lot of fun.
Are you saying Jared Allen is a precog?
Yeah, he is a sleeper to get the Cavs to trade on.
He's destiny from the X-Men.
Chris, I have yet to start the
again,
X-Men,
I'm going to so make you joke. Do this. It's great.
Over my
but
head.
Anyone who watched the animated show or is a nerd like me will know. But Jared Allen's going to be fun. I can't wait to see him play. Excited to see Torian Prince. JB's got like some new bodies now, and that's good. And it seems like...
That's another thing he said. He's like, we finally have bodies practicing again, which is no diss to Lamar Stevens and Dean Wade, but like aren't meaningful members of this rotation either.
Lamar's played well, though. Salute to him. Hanging in there. But... the Cavs are going to maybe have both their guards and Windler back on Wednesday, and that's, like, pretty significant.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, no, it's going to be a lot of fun. Hopefully get better soon. No, I just hope Kevin Love gets better soon. As always, if you're checking us out for the first time at WKYC, we post this podcast 5 days a week. We're also at Feud the Sword. I'm at Forbes covering the Cavs. Chris does some Brown stuff and some Grizzly stuff for them as well every now and then.
I'm not really just Browns now. I've dropped the Grizzlies facade.
That's okay. But no, we do a lot of Fear the Sword stuff over the Fear the Sword. We have an awesome new staff going out there. A lot of new content coming out every day. But yeah, come check out our show. You can find me on Twitter at amnotevan. It's on the box right here. Chris is a CWM Rights. It's underneath him as well. So check us out there. And as always, go Cavs. Chris, is there anything you want to say to the fine folks at home?
No, just thanks for listening, everyone. And again, back tomorrow talking about everything else going on in Cavs world. Talk to you then.